Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, well, this first sentence here, the Declaration of Independence, well, when was it signed? July 4th, 1776. 13 colonies of England decided that, unanimously decided, I might add, that they should leave and become a nation. Well, a war was fought, and a war was won. And the Declaration of Independence became a true reality for the colonies won the war. Well, to honor that victory, well, we celebrate on the 4th of July. Celebrate with fireworks. Now, when I was a kid, that's what we used to do, celebrate with fireworks. It was great to get those firecrackers out, you know, go around, blow up anthills. That was a fun way to celebrate, right? You know, stick those in the ground, stick them in cracks in the ground. Another favorite thing was to stick them at the bottom of the drain pipe, you know, light those off and let the sound go zooming up the side of the house, shaking it and everything. Parents come running out. Good stuff. Fun way to celebrate. And that's how I used to celebrate until, well, next door neighbor came up and asked me one time. He said, hey, you know, you want to go work on the 4th of July? I'm like, doing what? He goes, well, I work for a doctor who's he's got a farm out about outside of town here, and he's like, he needs to put up hay, and you'll get 12 hours worth of work, get paid $3 an hour. And I thought, hey, not bad. Instead of spending money buying fireworks, I could be making money instead. And so for a 14-year-old, that was a good thing to do. So that's what I did. In fact, I did that for a number of summers. Funny how, as you get older, funny your priorities change. Well, that's what it is in our gospel reading for today. It's talking about priorities. Here's the setting. Well, we learned last week that in our gospel reading that Jesus, well, he had set his face towards Jerusalem. What that means is that Jesus was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And he knew what was going to happen when he got there. He knew that, well, he was going to go to the cross. He's going to suffer and die. And then 3 days later, he's going to rise from the grave alive. And these would be his last days there before he would go through the countryside here with the disciples. And that's what was happening here. So, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. Well, he was sending them out ahead of him. Like I say, he was headed towards Jerusalem. So every place that he was going to see, he sent these guys off, two by two, to do that very thing. And he told them why. He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Well, Jesus wanted to bring home the harvest of people. Recall how he told his original disciples there, he's like, I want to make you fishers of men. Same kind of thing going on. Calling out the people that now is the time to come to faith. The kingdom of God was near. But Jesus also told them this. He told them that it was going to be difficult. I'm sending you out as lambs amidst the wolves. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any knapsack, all right? Nothing like that. Don't take a sleeping bag. Don't take any extra shoes. Don't spend any time on the road yakking with anybody else when you leave one town. I want you to get right to the next one. If a believer was there, when you go to that house, say, peace be among you. So if the believer was there, then God's peace is going to rest upon them. And if it wasn't there, well, then they're not going to get it. But he also told them, it's like eat what is set before you. Don't worry about if it's kosher or not. Don't worry about if you like it or not. Eat what is set before you. Say please and thank you. And then most importantly, he said, heal the sick in town and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Here was the priority. Heal the sick and proclaim the gospel. It's not unlike when you hear me making a hospital call visit, where many times, and I might even pray that here, that Jesus is the healer of both body and soul. It's a way of getting both of those in there. Heal the sick and share the gospel. That's what they were to do. And so, when they were calling back to the people there, Jesus said to them, it's like, hey, the one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Well, that was kind of the times, and that's why Jesus was there sending out the 72 before them. Some of the people there had lost sight of worshiping the Lord. It's no longer a priority for them. They were going through the motions, giving the Lord lip service, if they were doing that at all. They're going through their day-to-day existence and had lost their priorities before the Lord, no longer keeping the Lord number one. They needed to repent of their sins, and turn back to God. Now that, quite frankly, is something that, well, you and I experience one time or another. We lose sight of our priorities. So what does that look like when we do? Well, one time I had somebody send me a Facebook post, and it was entitled, "It's Strange." It's strange how $20 can seem like such a large amount when you put it in the offering plate, but it doesn't seem like anything at all when you go shopping. It's strange how 2 hours seems like such a long time to spend at church, but it doesn't seem like anything at all when you're watching a good movie. It's strange how we can't find the words to offer up a prayer to the Lord, but you have no problem finding words when you're talking with your friend. Those kinds of things happen when the Lord is not your priority. But what does it look like when the Lord is your priority? Well, your excitement, quite frankly, for serving is great. You're like those who were sent. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Now notice something that Jesus said. Even though he was sending them out as lambs amongst the wolves, how did they return? What was their attitude like? They returned with joy. Joy in their hearts. Even when the times are challenging there, it didn't matter. Still, there was great satisfaction in serving the Lord. And that can bring great joy to your hearts, even in times of challenges. But what clue did the disciples give in response for why their joy was so great? They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." Here they're saying there that they liked the fact that, well, they now had something that they had control over where they didn't have before. They were excited about that. But notice, too, Jesus' response to them. He redirects their priorities. Listen to what he had to say. And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Well, Jesus says, well, Satan is no longer welcome in heaven. He got kicked out of heaven. That's why he said he saw Satan fall like lightning. You see, there could only be one advocate before the Father. Back in the day, before Jesus' time there, well, Satan used to have access to God. And you're thinking, really? Think about Job. What did he do? Satan went up there and bad-mouthed Job all the time. He was bad-mouthing mankind all the time. But yet, Jesus, though, who knew he was going to the cross, was going to earn forgiveness of sins. And that means that there's only one advocate before the Father, and he was going to be that one. In order for him to be there, Satan had to go, and that he did. But still, the most important thing is not so much that he's beaten Satan, kicked him out of there, but what were they to rejoice most? That their names were written in heaven. Because you who believe in Jesus Christ, know him as your Savior, your names are written in heaven. And that's a good thing. Your name's already down there in that guest book. There's no price to pay. Okay, you don't have to dig out your credit card with all your good works on it. Jesus has already taken care of that. He's done that through his death on the cross and rising yet again. You're going to be welcome there, and you will be there forever. But in the meantime, where is your joy to be found? The fact that your names are written there. But we still have some work to do, just like the 72, to go out there and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And that can bring great joy to you as well. For in so doing there, you're telling others about Jesus. And as they start to come to faith, they too will begin to know that joy that you already have. And that'll just bring even more joy to your hearts. For you see, we who have faith, who come here and celebrate and give thanks, we have an opportunity to celebrate not just on the 4th of July for our freedoms that we have, but rather we celebrate each and every day. Freedom knowing that our sins are forgiven. We're free from those sins, and that our names are written in heaven. That's worth celebrating each and every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God comes to you in Christ Jesus. Let that be in your hearts now and forever. Amen.